She'd been about 11. Yeah, she's 8. It's really neat to watch these kids grow up. You know, I believe the first ones we got to graduate were Haycock children. Morgan was the first, and then our own, and you know, a few others over the course of time. Now, Robin, Katie's. And did y'all see Robin there? A hippie. But it's really awesome to watch what God does in their lives. And, you know, and so many people today are worried about their children. I don't know. I wouldn't want my children to be going out in this world. You know what? We're equipping our children. If you develop and equip your children to go out against everything they're going against, they have no option but to win. But if you coddle them, oh, nothing's ever going to hurt you, baby. I won't let that happen. Yeah. But when you equip them with knowledge of the Most High, when you equip them with the love of God, this is what happened. She, by the way, she wasn't striving for valedictorian. It just happened because she loves school. Oh, you don't love school, you just... You love art class. Okay, I can agree with you there. Oh, see, I'd have been tickled with a B. I'd have been tickled with a D on a few of them. Oh, but glory to God. But we here at the church, we like to bring the graduates forward. And this year, Kayla, you are the only one. So you get all the attention. Come on up, Kayla. And it has been a true blessing to have her with us because she worked back here in the audiovisual. She's up here singing now. She's done all kinds of things. She works with the children. And, you know, and that goes to show her heart where it's at. And it's right there. But what we like to do is we like to present you with a gift Bible. I know you've got a Bible. Pretty much every kid we've ever had come up here graduated has a Bible. But you know, I ended up, when I got mine, I had several Bibles. And I ended up still taking mine overseas with me. And even when I was being stupid, I'd open my sock drawer and there was that Bible. Still reminding me that God was with me. And so what we want to do today, Miss Kayla, is present to you this Bible. Again, you have to, do you have to have glasses? Okay, good. Because I had to add, yeah, she's not old like me, because that looks like a bunch of little ants on the page. And, but we want to give that to you and say congratulations on the many things you've done and that you're going to do. And as I understand it, you have a job, pretty much. You're still, okay. I thought there was one in the wings. Okay, I understand that whole process. But anyhow, what we're going to do is we're going to pray and bless you. Because, well, the word blesses you, there's an anointing that we can impart and bless you as this body. So if you'd all stand and pray with us as we pray for her. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this precious young lady. And Lord, we thank you now that as she has strived to serve you, Lord, you have brought her above the clouds, above the storms. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to be with her each and every step of the way. Father, as she gets interviews for jobs, Lord, you're going to lead her to the one where she will just blossom. And Father, I thank you that you're blessing her now, Lord. You're pouring out blessings in her life over and above anything she ever thought possible. And Lord, I know that this young lady is one of the most humble that I have ever met. So Lord, I thank you for her. And Lord, bless her and keep her in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's Kayla. All right, we'll give you... All right. And I have a note up here that I'm to invite everyone to Kayla's graduation party, 5 to 10 tonight, or to whenever. They live on Middletown Road off of 598, outside north of Galleon. If you hit Leesville, you went too far. Come back. But anyhow, and they are just down the road. I'm sure there'll be balloons and stuff you can follow to it. But if you need any more directions, there's the man right there in black. All right. All right. Praise God. All right. Super kids are dismissed, and you may be seated. What is in there? We got to clean that out. Hallelujah. Well, last week I started a message on entering into the rest of the Lord. The rest, the peace. Because life has enough turmoil in it. And Jesus didn't come to bring us turmoil. I've always been baffled about why so many people are so intent on getting everybody to do what God called them to do. And I'll be honest with you, I know exactly what it is. They would rather be an administrator instead of in the ditches. And beyond, in my opinion, those are sometimes the people you want to stay away from. They want to be the boss all the time. They don't want to ever do the work. When you can't do the work, you forget what it's like. That's why and this was an opinion I formed after just a few years of observing some of my OICs, but the best commanding officers, the best officers in charge that I ever served under were those who had been enlisted. They remembered what it was like. And one of the greatest ones, and he was just, we respected him, but he was one that everybody else would have blew off because he didn't want to fit into their mold of what a warrant officer should be. He cut his teeth in the enlisted ranks, moved over to become a warrant officer. His hair was a little longer, and he had what we called the motor T tilt. Where you kind of kick your cover back just a little bit instead of two fingers above the bridge of your nose. And he would wear something that would amaze the rest of us. We called them army gloves. He'd put his hands in his pockets. But when it came down to it, he was the man who would look out for us. Anyhow, but entering the rest of the Lord, Jesus came and he tried to teach his disciples some things. And then he tried to teach everybody else how to live a peaceful life, a victorious life. See, and the truth of the matter is, we're not happy unless there's turmoil. I have met people in some of them have come through this church. Life is not happening unless their world is falling apart. And then you're going to hear about it. Anybody, nobody like that? And when their world is calm, they got to do something to make it awful. They can't handle peace and tranquility. And so some of those people, I've just said, you know, I got to separate myself. You're stealing something God meant for me to have. I have been around turmoil all my life. From family members who lie and cheat, to friends who lie and cheat. And I said, you know what? I'm going to surround myself with people who don't. People who want the peace of the Lord. People who want to know what it is to rest in the Lord. Now, as I said last week, resting does not mean we don't work. Okay? Get used to it. It's a fact of life. We will all work. Now, I know we have this thing we live for called retirement, right? You still work, don't you? You still got to work. And you worked your butt off all those years trying to put money away so that you would have be able to live outside of that. But so many people got it. I want to watch TV all day and do this and do that, and I don't want to do anything. Yeah, you weren't created for that. But in the very beginning, neither were we created for the extreme hard labor that has ended up being our life. Jesus was teaching us in Matthew chapter 6. He said, don't worry about the things you're going to eat, your wear. Don't worry about this stuff. He started pointing out to the birds of the air how beautiful they were and how they were always fed. You know why they're always fed? Because of people like me who have strawberry patches that are uncovered. I walked out the other morning, I'd put a net over it. I finally figured out it was the birds after I put a fence around it. And I walked out there and there was a bird and it about broke its neck trying to get out of the wire as it flew through the fence. And it sat up in the tree and it went, meh, meh. So I started meh back at it. And we argued for a few minutes until it finally figured out I was going to win. But see, that bird didn't toil one bit for those berries. But yet it's getting delicious fresh strawberries every day. And before long, there will be wheat. And there's lots of bugs. And he said, look at the lilies of the field. He said, they don't work hard. And yet, he says, I tell you, even Solomon. And you need to understand, Solomon's kingdom was the most glorious kingdom to ever be on the earth. Except when Jesus Christ establishes his. Up to this point, no kingdom. I don't care how big Washington, D.C. thinks we can build our monuments to intimidate people. Solomon's kingdom intimidated even that. And he was adorned with the finest linens and the finest clothing the world could produce at that time. And Jesus said, even Solomon cannot compare to the beauty. You know, I've got these beautiful irises popping up. And right now at the moment, I got irises and hostas popping up in weird spots because of all the earth moving we did. I got them in my driveway. But we got these beautiful dark purple ones. I love them. They usually smell like grapes. But then I've got these white and purple ones. And then I've got some yellow ones over here. And you know, and God said, that's more beautiful. And we worry about what we're going to wear. You know, I don't get a new outfit at Easter. It's a tradition. I'm a guy, for starters. I could care less about getting a new outfit. The only time I get new clothes is when I've worn them out. I don't have to have the latest next style. So what? What's wrong with the shirt I wore yesterday? Well, it's out of style. As the old Billy Joel song goes, you know, don't you know that your tie's too wide? Who cares? I like it. I wear what I like. I don't worry about what I'm going to wear. So I don't worry about having to buy. But there's so many people, they stress, oh, Easter's coming up. I got to buy all my children a new outfit. I got to get a new dress. I got to get my husband a new suit. Why? Well, because it's tradition. So what? You want to do it. But only do it if you got the money to do it. Don't stress. Don't worry about those things. And this is what Jesus was trying to get us to understand. We're stressing and worrying about things that don't matter. How am I going to feed my children? How am I going to do this? How are we going to do that? Well, first off, you're supposed to ask him. Ask him for it. So, having said that note, let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Go to verse 28. Jesus is still teaching. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All you who labor and are heavy laden. That's hard labor. Okay? He's talking about those of you who are stressed out. Those of you who are working hard at something and you're getting nowhere. Anybody ever felt like that? Take 3 steps forward, 10 back. That's working hard. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's saying, come to me. I knew it was going to pop. There. He said, come to me and exchange your burdens for mine. See, when we let God take our burden, see, and that's what I was saying about being still. It's hard to trust God. Oh, it's easy to trust God, people. I've heard. Baloney, it is easy. It's hard to trust God because we can't see the visible hand of God, can we? I've never seen the visible hand of God. And to be honest with you, if I did, it would probably be coming down to smack me up the side of the head. So I would just assume not. And trust that He's going to move. But that's the hard part. Because we want to get involved. Don't we? God, this is how this is going to work out. This is how I'm going to do this. I heard somebody talking about a fight one time. Said, this is what I'm going to do. First time fight. Okay? MMA. First time. This is what I'm going to do. Never been in a ring with an opponent other than sparring. This is what I'm going to do. There's a big difference. You've did some MMA, haven't you, Sean? There's a big difference between sparring and getting in the ring with a guy who wants to rip your head off. Because the guy sparring is usually a good friend. He's not going to hurt you. The other guy wants to hurt you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Get in the ring. You underestimate your opponent, and guess what? Bing! You see Tweety Bird. It's lights out. You're done. First round. Why? Because you have your own schemes. Well, this is how I'm going to do it. You know, I had my own scheme when I graduated high school. The very next day, I was supposed to start work with my dad. I was going to work in the as a union electrician. I was going to be a groundman starting out and then become a lineman. They were going to pay for my schooling and all that. I mean, I thought it was a shoe-in, right? You know, I mean, after all, my family are the union stewards. No, that job never came about. Never heard one call. Even though, it turned out, they gave the job to one of the owner's sons, who didn't last real long. See, I had my schemes. This is what I was going to do, this, and this. God had His schemes. He had His plans for my life. And it all involved tearing me down and building me back up. I've come to realize that's why I had to go to the Marines. I had to be torn down and built back up. I had no self-esteem. Cocky, yes. But no self-esteem. And I wanted a girlfriend. Well, June 4th, I asked her out. July 21st, I asked her to marry me. But my scheme and God's plan were two different things. I was stressed and trying to figure out how to get this job, how to get there. I had applied for jobs. They'd call for the interviews. I had a truck, and the next thing I know, the truck blew up. Like, seriously, can I not get ahead here? When I got my life in line with God's plan, I ain't gonna lie, the Marine Corps was no cakewalk, and it is not Boy Scout camp. But it was easy. I found it easy. And you know what? If my body could handle it, I'd do it again. There were things I loved. If I'd stayed in any longer, I was going to go be a drill instructor. I loved it. And then there were days I loved to hate it. But I had to learn to start trusting God and rest, walking in His rest, and forget all my scheming. Everything I've ever done to try to do this or try to do that has failed. But when God tells you to do something, He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, it's going to fit comfortably. It's not going to be a yoke built for somebody else. See, when they make cattle yoke and oxen yoke and goats and all that, it's one size fits all. So if you're a little scrawny cow and they put this thing on you that's made for a big old ox, it's going to rub and it's going to irritate you. But yet, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. In other words, it's going to fit. I remember the first time that we used to do these things. We called them humps. It's a forced march. I hate it. I will not lie. I know I said that we don't have a capacity to hate. There's one thing that I do hate, and it was those. I do not believe mankind was ever built to put 75 to 85 pounds in your pack, plus about 25 pounds of body armor on, and then make you walk at 5 miles an hour. Try it. Shin splints in the first 100 yards. Oh, and I was on the little end because I was short. The guys with the legs that are up to here, they were on the front. So they're taking 4 foot strides. My 33 inch stride now got cut down to about 20. So I was having to run. So I hated them. I gave too much detail because I forgot where I was at. Yeah, it'll hit me. Oh, yes, 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 the pack. Thank you. The pack. But our packs were just Alice packs. That was the acronym, all weight, light, purpose, individual carrying equipment. And we'd put them on, and what they do is they start pulling your shoulders back. And when it pulls your shoulders back, you start arching your back because it's starting to get heavy. And then you get done, not only do you have shin splints, you got blisters, your feet are bleeding, your back's killing you. But I remember when I got over to School of Infantry, and they said, okay, we happen to have a few of these packs with frames. Oh my goodness, what a difference a frame made. That was the last time I ever saw one with a frame. It was a yoke. It helped make that burden easier. I still hated humping, but not as much. And Jesus was saying, my yoke is easy. You'll be able to carry the load easy. But He said, not only that is it going to be easy, my burden is light. What I'm going to ask you to do, you will be able to do it. And it will be light to you. Just like at boot camp, I thought boot camp was easy to me. Both physically, I mean, and I was not in shape, and I did whip into shape, I gained 20 pounds. We had guys that lost 50. But I loved it. But yet there were guys who were stressing because they couldn't handle it. And I actually got to talk to quite a few because I was the lay reader. I was the Protestant lay reader. I would pray every night, Lord, bless our drill instructors. Let them not kill us. But some of those guys knew that I was a Christian. And they'd talk to me. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm like, we're in this boat together, Jack. And I ain't never been down this one before. But yet, just them unloading a little bit helped. And they were able to get past all the things that they were holding on to and graduate. And little did I know, God was setting me up for what he'd later have me to do. So Jesus has told us, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry that God didn't give you 4 more inches to hit 6 foot. Don't worry about that. Just do as I've asked you, and you'll find that it's easy to do. As I've said before, pastoring is not anything, the fivefold ministry in general, is not anything that if God did not tell you you should do, that you'd better be doing it. Because if you are not equipped for it, it will kill you. If not physically, spiritually. But I find this, and like I said, it's not that it is easy. I find it easy. You know, a couple years ago, I thought about driving a bus for Mount Gilead. I was up there talking to Brenda, and she even had me out there parking. And then I remembered, you know, some of the kids on the buses and some of the horror stories that are coming out now. And I thought, you know, about the time one of those kids would come up and threaten to hit me, I'd knock him through the windshield. I better not drive bus. But yet there are people, and there are people who are geared to teach. I'd be like my FFA instructor, Mr. Cooper. He's one of the men who had a profound effect on me. You know, I was by no means from an agricultural family. He was even telling me one day, we were talking about 6 months ago or so, and he said, yeah, I even had one kid. He said, the state called me and said, what's this kid's agricultural aspirations? He's got 3 rabbits. I told Angela, as I got home, and I realized, that was me. I had 3 rabbits. My agriculture aspirations, well, I married into a farming family. Son works for John Deere. There you go. But, you know, gone are the days when he'd say, sit down or I'm going to snatch you bald-headed. Although I understand there's a few teachers in Mount Gilead that are kind of like that still, got a little spit and fire in them. They get the respect. But see, if I was there, I wouldn't do so well. You're geared for things that other people aren't. I'm not geared to sing. Okay, not only do I not have the physical ability to carry, I can carry a note, just don't get me wrong, I can, not for real long, not steady, and it doesn't always sound good. In the shower, I sound like Elvis. Out here, all I can do is impersonations of Elvis. Thank you very much. But anyhow, so we need to start trusting God. Put away our scheming, what we think is going. God, this is how you're going to operate. Anybody ever done that? God, this is what you're going to do. I'm going to go here and you're going to have somebody bing, 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 bing. I put it all together and boy, I get there and I'm just so excited and I'm looking for, and it never happens. I'm like, God, now wait a second here. You were supposed to do this. It's my scheming again. I promise you, God will always, everything that he does, you will learn from. It's the way we're built. We are engineered to do that. On a side note, real quick, we were watching a comedy the other night that really kind of teaches, they believe more in evolutionary things, some of you know which show I'm talking about. They believe in the Big Bang Theory. And one of the scientists on there, it floored Angela. We were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He just said what I thought he said. He said, sometimes you get back and you get into science and you get to looking deep and you say, you look at science's creator and you say, I see what you were doing there. They still can't get away from it, that there's a creator. You know what's hilarious is God loves for us to get in and see what he's done. When we finally discovered DNA, don't you think he was, that's about time. You figured out that your fingerprints are all different. You figured out that your irises are different. That I made you an individual, so why do you keep wanting to be all alike? Anyhow. Now, Psalm chapter 37. Go to verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Okay, I want to stop right there for just a second. I've taught on this before in years. We're all trying to figure out how do we... God does not have a problem with you having things. Religion teaches you that God doesn't want you to have things. That they're evil. No, loving things above God will lead you astray. Having a motorcycle is not going to lead you astray. Having a boat is not going to lead you astray. Putting it above God will lead you astray every time. And here's the thing that I have to laugh at, and so many people, one of these days we're going to get it. I don't know why they want that. That's just stupid. That's just stupid. Well, it's my heart, not yours. And the hilarious part I have to think about is people that have said that turn around and they go get the exact same thing they said was stupid. Why? Because religion taught them that it was stupid. So he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Do not fret because of the man who's prospering in his way. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There's people right now, they're seeking peace. You know how they're doing it? One, transcendental meditation. Yoga. Just for all you yogaites that like to think there's nothing wrong with it. Stretching is one thing. I fully believe in stretching, and I should actually get up and stretch every morning. But when we go getting into poses that were created by a religion, clear your mind. Listen, I don't care what Tony from P90X says. It's still, I don't go and lay prostrate and face Mecca either. Why would I go put myself in this twisted pose that was used to worship a demon? So they go that route. It's bringing me peace. Oh, or they like to read a lot of quotes about peace. I'll tell you the first thing you need to do to start bringing about peace in your life: forgive. It worked for me. I was an angry individual, kept a lot of it bottled up. You can ask my wife. I had a tendency to let things build up and build up, little things. They just keep building up. And like a volcano, when I finally hit that point, everything, and nothing made sense anymore. In my head, it's making sense. But what's coming out is just bunk. And then I finally got to where I forgave some people who had legitimately harmed me. Hurt me. They said some things. Said and or did. And I let them go. It was also the same year that I told another friend, I finally feel grown up as a Christian. I finally feel like a grown up. I was 30 years old. Actually, about 31. It was also the same year God told me to start this church. God wouldn't have told me to start this church had I not forgiven those people. Because they were in the church. What's he want me to do? Come in here and start infecting you with my poison? Another way they're trying to go for is drugs. That's what everybody goes for. Oh, by the way, this stuff that people see when they're high, it's very real. Oh, but I become more open. Yeah, you're open, and there's things you're finally getting, but the problem is you've opened your mind to every demonic influence out there. Try spending some time reading God's Word and then go get alone. Go spend some time with God. You know, that's part of the reason I like hunting. I get to sit up there. There's a lot of time sitting in a tree stand. David is saying, don't fret because of those that are prospering in their way. God will bring about justice for you. He always does. Well, it won't happen. Well, you know what? Sometimes things don't happen in our life right now. Maybe it's down the road. Maybe in the very end when it really counts, God will say, oh, by the way, you're just. You're justified. Here's your justice. And he'll delve that out now. But neither should we rejoice that people are going to hell. They're going to have theirs to catch. But rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Patience. That's something, it's hard to hold on to, isn't it? I want it now. Ms. Vicki, what was the time when you worked at Wendy's? Was it 30 seconds? 30 seconds. From the time you place your order to the time you pick it up. Tell me what's wrong with our world. We have a fast food mentality. Tell you how bad it has gotten. There's a church in Las Vegas. It's a drive-through church. If I remember correctly, the pastor is in basically a little guard shack thingy, and everybody's sitting out there with their radios on. Preaches about a 5-minute message and they drive off. Really? We want to learn about God. We think we're going to get it in 5 minutes. You know, I don't know how many years of his, 12 years of school. I did actually attend all 12 years. Huh? 13? Yeah. And there are things I learned every year, over and over and over. Guess what? I couldn't tell you what they are. Why? Because I stopped learning. But I do love to learn. That's why I love the History Channel. That's why I love Discovery. I love going and doing new things. So why is it we think that we can learn about God in 2 or 3 minutes a day? He doesn't leave you. Now, like I said, I don't put much into the theory that you've got to pray for an hour a day or God just does not hear you. I get up, I thank God. I start off thanking God. I don't wake up and say, oh God, it's morning. I wake up and I said, Lord, I thank you for this day. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to bless my children. You're going to bless my wife. And then I start praying for those that God starts putting on my heart. And if there's a bunch of you at one time, then I just start praying for you. And if I got one or two, then I pray for them and I get up. And I go about my day. But here's the hilarious part. By the time the day's ended, I guarantee I've prayed for more than an hour. Because I will have prayed throughout the day when somebody comes to my mind. Something comes to my mind. I start praying. Now this one you'll have to look up because I didn't give it to Chase back here. Philippians. Chapter 4. Verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. How many of you are anxious about something? We're all anxious about a little something. Why? Because if we're moving forward, then we have something that we can be anxious about. But Paul said, don't be anxious about it. Put it in God's hands. Start thanking Him. Here's how I'll tell you how you get going on it. You got the obstacles there. You know what's in your way. Father, I thank you that you're meeting this need right now in Jesus' name because your word says that you will meet my needs. You told me not to worry about it. I'm not worrying about it. I put it in your hands. I trust you, Father. I trust that you will take care of me. I trust you will take care of my children. Because to be honest with you, at this juncture, you know, I remember, you know, I mean, boys, you know, I've always been told boys and girls is a little bit different. And, you know, my boys, I've trained them. I've been building them up to let them go. Now, a little girl, I don't know if I could have so easily. So I don't envy you, Rob. But you're going to have to eventually. And that's where you put her in God's hands. But see, that's where we all have to be about everything. Not just our children when they graduate. What about our grandchildren? You know, when I joined the Marines, my grandmother quit talking to my mom because they let me do it. I was like they had a choice. I was nearly 19, and they didn't need their permission anymore. And I was tired of sitting around. We got no jobs. I didn't have any pets for their heads to fall off. I did have a dog who died while I was gone. My car's falling apart. I got no girl. It becomes a lesson. And it's harder on us if we don't trust God from the word go. Oh, I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to hold on to you. You know. Even when, you know, there's been, you know, things Joshua's run up against, I've had to say, God, you'll vindicate him in this. And he always has. So while I do say that, you know, with Job, his whole deal was, he lived in worry and stress and fear about his children all the time. And it's what opened the door for the devil to come after him. But as a father, I fully understand it. But as a Christian, I live, God, they're in your hands. I can't stress about them. If you can't take care of them, how on earth am I going to? You created the sun and the stars. You hung the moon. You put this earth here. You've created things that we haven't even discovered yet. I had to laugh. I was reading the news the other day, and it said, tiny frog discovered in Brazil. Brazil's loaded with frogs because that's where they keep finding these things. Another poisonous frog. They keep finding new species of frogs. All the time. And we think we've discovered it all. For crying out loud, we can't even build anything to go down far enough into Marianas Trench. What do we think might be down there? And you know what the hilarious part is? Us, in our infinite wisdom, we can build this, we can do that. We're sending a rover to Mars, we can do all this stuff. And yet God created creatures, no bigger than me, that can swim down into those depths without being crushed. How does he do it? I don't know. We have to have steel and all this stuff to go down, and God just created this flesh and blood creature that can go down in there. And you know what's hilarious? When we get down there and we see what they look, oh, there's sea monsters down there. Look at those teeth, and you know, and they do look scary to us, don't they? God looks at them and says, those are beautiful. I created that. So if you're one of those people, you're tempted to worry about things, stop it. Stop. Take your gloves off. Let them fall to the ground. Don't pick them up. And say, all right, God, now, what is it I do need to do in this? What is it I do have to do? Like I said, he said that my burden is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is some work. There are things you have to do. You know, the church didn't just pop up here. There were some things we had to do. But you know what? And looking back, it was pretty easy. He paved the way. Oh, God, what are we going to do? You know, we're going to building inspectors and blah, 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 blah. We get in here, and you know what? God put the state of Ohio on my side. He gave us favor. Favor with building inspectors. That does not happen. And as I was told, especially with the electrical. And that guy loved us. Don't know why. All I know is that he sat down and he told me, he says, you did this the right way. He said, you got in your building quicker than you would have without it. I was like, oh, so it was God leading us this. It was God that did all that. It was God who made our enemies at peace. And I'll give you a little catching up on something real quick. You know, I shared with many of you, some of you do know the details of this circumstance, but it was something I was having to try to chomp on, figure out how to take care of in a godly way. I know what Art wanted to do, and it wouldn't have been godly. But I chose to do it God's way. And I did what I had to do, and somebody came up to me yesterday at breakfast and said, do I owe you anything for that fence? We had somebody do some damage to the fence. Wasn't a child either. What do I owe you for the fence? I said, nothing. I fixed it. And that's where I was leaving it. Of course, I hate to say, I'd only been out of bed for a few minutes, and my mind was, what are we talking about here? I can barely comprehend that I'm eating a sausage right now. But you see how God worked it? I kept my peace about it. And it wasn't an easy chore to do. We just fixed the fence. Tore it all out and put it back together. And to have somebody come along and vandalize it. And I said, God, I'm going to do this your way. Well, basically the person admitted in front of God and everyone they did it. Didn't really say they were sorry, but was willing to pay for it. But here's why I need you to understand why God helped, how God helped me go that route. Because of the persecution we received as a church, and I've told this to the people that I've heard, the person that did this, I believe, was wronged by Christians, or possibly in a church. They were hurt. And I can understand that. But I didn't do it. And it's my prayer that by us actually living like Christ, turning the other cheek, that this person will learn to forgive and trust God again. So that's just a lesson that had a real life example that worked out just yesterday. So that you can see every little detail in your life God is concerned about. He doesn't want you taking up the situation in your hands. Because the downside is, I think I would have too many willing participants in setting the record straight. So, but trust me, folks, if you learn to start resting in the Lord, He does bring you the desires of your heart. All right, let's stand. Is there something else I had? Okay. No. Okay. Do you want to share it now? Because I'm done. Okay. All I got to do is pray.
Okay. Right. Okay. Hello, everybody. Some of you know that today is Pastor Art's birthday. Happy birthday. So, and today is also fellowship meal, and I hope everybody can stay. And you know his thing is he likes to wait and let everybody else get through the line. But I'm totally pulling rank or something. And I'm just going to ask if he can go through first today. So just, he can just hold tight just a few minutes and he'll get over there and get going and get things
okay
started for us. I just thought, you know, it's your birthday.
Enjoy. I was just getting ready to say you and what army, but I'm kind of against the wall here. I just let you know I'm a screamer. isn't that what Davy Crockett said on Alamo at the end? I want you to know right now I'm a screamer. Praise God. Anyhow, let's remember this week and always. It's a lifestyle. Listen, folks, it's not an event. That's why I'm not going to pray for you now. It will be I pray over you, I bless you every week with the message and that God helps you to grow in it. But if you don't take it and apply it to your life, you're like a man who looked in the mirror and walked away and forgot what he looked like. Okay? Apply it to your life. Tomorrow morning, I promise you, you will have an emergency you've got to deal with. Tuesday morning, you will have... Well, let me put it this way. This is something I've learned to live by, started living by. Failure to obey God on your behalf does not create an emergency on mine. Did you get that? I've even given people straight up advice, told them not to do something, and they went and did it. And really? And now you want me to bail you out? You do realize you opened a can of worms that I can't stick my hands in. Then they get mad at me because I won't come jump in it with them. Pfft. Listen, I'm knee deep in my own stuff right now. Let's just learn to obey God and trust Him. Be surprised how much easier our lives will be. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord. We thank You, Father, that You... have seen it all. You know what's going to happen. Father, you even know what we're going to do, when we're going to disobey, when we're going to be stupid. So, Father, I pray now again. We thank you for that mercy. And that you will cause those things to work together for us, for our good. Lord, I pray that you help us all now to live and walk and trust and breathe your rest and your peace. Lord Jesus, it was you that said, I give you my peace, and it's not a peace that the world understands because the world's not giving it to you. So they can't take it away. And Father, and in spite of the tumultuous world that we live in right now, Lord, we know that the world can't take this peace that we have. Now, Father, I bless your people. Father, as they go about their week, as they go about their day to day, Father, I know many have got busy things to do. Be with them, Father. Bring them peace and comfort. Lord, help them to walk victoriously in everything that your word says. In Jesus' name, amen.